Tom Mulcair, former leader of His Majesty's official opposition. We've been through this before, Tom. Did we say her or his now that it's King Charles?
Well, I was the leader of Her Majesty's loyal opposition, yeah, but okay. Of course today Mr. Poiliev is the leader of His Majesty's loyal opposition.
I got you. Brought to you by Guaranteed Industries. Now's the time to change over from heating to cooling. Call your air conditioning specialist at Guaranteed and Lennox, 514-342-3400. And let's see. Let's talk about Catherine Fournier, the mayor of Longueuil, who was a PQ M&A and was sexually assaulted. We learned yesterday that she was the victim, that Harold Lebel went to, who is also a PQ M&A, was accused and charged and convicted of sexually assaulting. Yeah. Now, I want to talk about some of the fallout of this. So where does this put Paul St-Pierre Plamondon? According to Catherine Fournier, she kind of felt like she was set adrift when she started complaining about
this. Yes, and she put the two together, but obliquely. The fact that she left the PQ caucus, she said, had everything to do with her personal beliefs, but she said at the same time, it had grown increasingly uncomfortable for her to sit in the same small room because there was a small PQ caucus. And be sitting beside her aggressor. And there's a great picture, I believe it was in the Gazette, at a press conference at the end of the session, and you could see her standing beside Lebel, and she looks uncomfortable even in the picture. So for people who don't know the whole story, as a young M&A, she was the youngest M&A in the House at the time, in the Assembly, she was sexually assaulted by the other MNA, Harold Lebel, that you just mentioned. It took her some time to deal with that, to process it, but she made a police complaint, resolved to do that. There was a trial before a jury. He was found guilty and sent to jail. This whole thing has had an incredible impact because there's also a documentary that was being made, and she became part of the documentary. In fact, the defense tried to raise that by bringing back the jury and the judge to hear their complaint or their evidence about that, saying it tainted the whole process. And the judge, the jury just was fine with it, and the judge said fine. And she asked that her name be made public, because normally in a case like this, the name would be held private. So there's a whole thing around the naming of her, because there were some journalists who broke the rules by giving enough indications that people had already understood that she was the victim. She did an incredible job in a media round yesterday. And one of the people who did not do quite as well is, as you just mentioned, Paul St-Pierre Plamondon, the head of the Parti Québécois. Why does he make it into the picture? Because when all this happened, it was Jean-François Lisée who was the head of the PQ. Well, when it became clear that there had been a police complaint by someone who obviously, people within the PQ understood who the complaint was from, he simply said, we're going to stand back from this, because if we do anything, if we even call and commiserate, it could be seen as we're trying to influence this, because these two people are M&As. So you have to understand a little bit the position that he was in. But at the same time, it would have been safer perhaps for him to have believed the victim and taken an approach that would have pushed it along that line, although some people at the time would have said, well, he's skewing the whole process and it's up to the court system to decide this. So he's in a bit of a sensitive position. I think he did as well as he possibly could yesterday in explaining it, Andrew. But of course, a lot of people are going to be simply saying that, it's the old system and it's the old boys, and this guy was a very experienced and very, very well liked. I mean, he was the type of M&A who would win, the award as the most congenial member of the National Assembly, that sort of stuff. So it's a very complex situation. I think that overall, she's been absolutely outstanding. She stood up in this thing. She has talked in the media. She said it's part of her own healing process. But of course, she's also saying that she sincerely hopes that any other victim in a similar situation, knowing what the system is like and how it's going to play out, that might be able to help them. So it's admirable on all counts.
155,000 federal public servants are on strike. Not all of them actually picketing, but there will be 250 picket sites across the country, including several of Montreal.
This is a set piece strike. I mean, I don't think that anybody in the Peace Act, the Public Service Alliance of Canada, really wants a long strike, because any increase that they might get in wages is going to be thrown out the window, if they wind up being off work for several weeks. I think this is mostly about flexing their muscles a little bit, showing that they've got the support of their membership, trying to push the government back to the bargaining table. And one of the things that I notice is, you know, when you go back to Bob Ray and Ray days and, you know, the whole kerfuffle around public service contracts when the NDP was in power in Ontario, the public service unions got really mad at Bob Ray. Fine, because times were much tougher economically. And they made him pay a heavy price, and they brought in Mike Harris. And Mike Harris was absolutely brutal in his dealings with the public servants. So I think that there is enough collective memory at PSAC to know that, okay, this Poiliev fellow, he might or might not ever form a government, but if he ever did, I don't think he's going to be extremely generous in his bargaining of collective agreements and his dealings with civil servants. So I think that they've got to understand that they've got at least an opening right now with Trudeau's Liberals, who have, as we've discussed, increased the size of the public service by 31% since they got there 7.5 years ago. So, I mean, they've really ballooned the thing out. There has been a bit of, one substantial year of inflation that we've just gone through. But now Tiff Macklin has just told us that we're back into the 4% range for, you know, and it's dropping. So I think that you and I as taxpayers can breathe a sigh of relief because they're not going to have to lard that into the contracts. But at the same time, they do deserve a proper bump. Even though people are noticing one thing, that most of them were able to put away a lot of money because they no longer had any of the expenses to deal with that are normally associated with going to work, having a babysitter or a daycare, and paying your expenses because almost everybody was working from home. So that should also be taken into account, to be fair.
Okay, I don't think I've ever breathed a sigh of relief when it comes to paying taxes, ever. Opposition leaders slammed what they called Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's lack of judgment yesterday after it was revealed he spent his Christmas vacation in the Jamaica home of a wealthy donor to the Pierre Elliott Trudeau Foundation. The thing that's, aside from the questions about the donation to the foundation, what strikes me here is more than $100,000 to pay for security for this. And
yes.
And sometimes there's just, I don't know if penny wise, pound foolish is the right way to describe this, but sometimes I wonder about the thought process. Like, you won't renovate 24 Sussex because it costs too much, yet you shovel billions of dollars out the door for other stuff.
Yes, and it's a question of establishing your priorities. And Trudeau was on the hot seat, as he knew he would be, by the way, you know, when he decided, you know, whatever advice he got, if it included, no, don't do it, boss, he decided just to go. It's not illegal, by the way. He did get sign off from the ethics commissioner, although everybody does point out that the whole side bit about the Trudeau Foundation was never mentioned, but I don't really think it's that important. I don't think it affects whether or not this was legal. These were family friends. But Andrew, it's a question of the perception. And as you just say, you know, what are your priorities? So when you see pictures of this resort, I mean, it's actually a family compound sort of thing, you know, with these magnificent villas, but they rent for as much as $7,000 US per night.
That's okay. Wow. That's almost like Queen's funeral money. For the hotel.
Well, that's the whole point. What does it bring back to people's mind? It brings back Trudeau's $6,000 a night suite at that hotel for the Queen's funeral. And it brings back that multi-gazillion dollar beach house that they had in Tofino, BC. And it brings back discussion about what was illegal, his trip to the Aga Khan's Island for another holiday. So it's a question of what people are left with. And it's this sense of, this guy thinks he's just entitled to do what he wants. Yes, he's the prime minister of a G7 country. And yes, you know, he gets a lot of the stuff that comes with that. But as you say, when people are having trouble paying their groceries and they look at $160,000 just for security and they're sort of going, like, isn't there somewhere else that you could have gone that could have cost us a little bit less? Now, don't kid yourself. If Poiliev were to become prime minister or anybody else, they'll go on holidays and they'll have their retinue and they'll have their security detail and they'll have all of the same expenses. As one person reminded us yesterday, you know, remember when Donald Trump used to complain that Barack Obama was playing golf when he was president? And I think that Trump played golf every other day that he was president of the United States. So there is a little bit of that involved. But again, it goes into the category of what was he thinking? You know, when he made that decision to go there with his family, because it's the pictures of that magnificent place that stays in Canadians' minds.
You know what? It's just like we know that he is comes from a wealthy family with wealthy connections over many, many decades. So just wear it.
Yes.
Say, yeah, these are my friends and this is what I do. Like, but don't try to pretend that you're like one of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't be both. Exactly. Yeah. Well said.